Today's first reading highlights God's invitation to obey the law naturally perceived by the human mind and heart. It's telling us we know what is right. The reading reminds us that the respect and obedience of the law leads to human happiness and fulfillment. In the second reading, Paul emphasizes the centrality of Christ, whose appearance in human history elevated our natural order of creation to the supernatural order of redemption. From this reading, we get part of the new translation of the Nicene Creed, and this reading reminds us that through Christ's blood, we are saved. In the Gospel, Christ exemplifies, at the request of a scholar, what the new commandment of charity requires. The practice of universal charity is a duty tied to the reward of eternal life. It also shows us, through a stranger, the unlimited nature of God's love, and it contains the greatest commandment: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. The parable of the Good Samaritan is so familiar to us that we often see only one of its dimensions. The dimension we tend to focus on is on its presentation of a model for us to imitate. Jesus finishes the parable by saying, "Go and do likewise." In that sense, it's a crystal clear explanation of the great commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. If we strive to follow it, we will without a doubt live a worthy, meaningful, and fruitful life. And today the church reminds us that we should be striving to follow it. But this parable has another dimension. The Good Samaritan is, above all, a self-portrait of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us, for the human family as a whole, and for each of us individually. This is the dimension I more closely identify with today. I sometimes feel like I'm the one in the ditch left to die. And like the Jew in the ditch, each of us has been robbed of our original holiness by original sin. Our selfishness and sins, the sins of others, have deeply wounded our souls. We lay on the side of life's path in need of a Savior. We have been bruised and broken and wounded by life in a fallen world. In His incarnation, Jesus comes to us like the Good Samaritan. He is the merciful Lord who heals and restores us with the oil and wine of His sacraments, who pays for our salvation, which is with His own sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, who entrusts the boundless riches of His grace to His own innkeeper, the Church, who in turn watches over our convalescence, our growth into Christian maturity, until Jesus Christ comes again. If Jesus commands us to be good Samaritans to one another, it's only because He has walked the path ahead of us. In thinking about this parable a little more, in this self-portrait, Jesus shows what kind of friend He wants to be for us. Jesus also foreshadows His own ostracism in choosing the outcast Samaritan as the one who rescues the Jew. The stone the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. And what exactly does the Good Samaritan do? He puts himself out. He goes out of his way to save a half-dead traveler, someone he doesn't even know, and someone who belongs to a social group that despises his own social group. He answers the question, "Who is my neighbor?" with the word, "Everyone." The actions of the Good Samaritan required some risk. Playing dead was a popular ploy of the Palestine's experienced roadside thieves. They would pretend to be injured, and when a kind traveler stooped down to help, the gang of thieves would pop out of hiding and attack him. And it bears revisiting this relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans. These people were the outcasts of first century Palestine. Since they had intermarried with the occupying Assyrians in the 8th century BC, they were considered a mongrel breed. And because they kept a separate tradition of the Torah and conducted competing temple worship on Mount Gerizim, theirs was considered a corrupt form of Judaism. For a Samaritan, a suspect stranger to Judea, to deal with an injured Jew would have been an act of inexplicable compassion and unthinkable risk. The Samaritan's actions to the traveler were costly. He had to spend his own oil and wine to treat the wounds, and he had to leave money with the innkeeper to cover expenses. And his help was also inconvenient. The Samaritan was on the road for business, maybe very important business, and stopping at the scene of the accident and taking the injured man to safety would delay his trip. In short, the whole thing was a really bad investment, practically speaking. But friends do that. They put themselves out for their friends. They take risks for them and make sacrifices for them. And that's what Christ did for us. To prove what kind of friend he wants to be, just look at the crucifix. And if we value his friendship and want to be his friend, we would gladly, even if clumsily, go and do the same. For we will never be God, but we can try to emulate the unlimited compassion of God as exemplified in this story. In short, we need Christ. We live in a fallen world. We ourselves are fallen. And Christ is our Good Samaritan. Only Christ's help can get us back on our feet, keep us there, and infuse in us the inner spiritual strength we all know we need. In a culture consumed with self-indulgence, self-reliance, and extreme individualism, we need to be reminded of this truth. And the church has reminded us of it today. During the Mass, let's thank our Lord for coming to save us, for not walking by like the priest and the Levite, but stopping beside us, going out of his way for us. And when he does it again this morning, by coming to strengthen us in the Holy Eucharist, let's promise him they will not just thank him with our words, but also with our actions. For every Christian is called to be another Christ. Christ wants to reach out to the people in our circle of friends and family, just as the Good Samaritan reached out to the unfortunate man who had been robbed and beaten. And he wants to reach out through us. Each of us knows people who have been robbed and beaten up by the troubles of life in this fallen world. So this week, encouraged by the example Christ gives us in this parable, and nourished with his very own strength through the Eucharist that we will receive, let us allow Christ to reach out to that person through us. By inviting us to be his Good Samaritan co-workers, Jesus gives us an opportunity to show him how grateful we really are. This week, let's make sure the opportunity doesn't slip by unnoticed to help another. And let's obey Christ's command to go and do likewise. If we do that, the Lord promises we will become truly alive.